January 31st, 2026. Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we pray for the lost souls to be saved. And Lord, in the midst of all that is going on in the world, we still have a heavenly joy. Lord, guide us to follow your will all the way to eternal heavenly joy. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. History of this world shows us how easy it is to focus on the events of each day. And yet we know we have an eternal destiny with eternal joy in heaven. And there will be some who do not make it to heaven. And we want to make sure that we do. So live in a way that shows you belong to Jesus Christ. As we approach the end of life, things become more obvious. We get to know that we have this strong desire to belong to Jesus. And this is in America, and it is around the world. Why, even in Iran, some people say that's the seat of Islam. But there are many peoples who are coming to Jesus Christ after they have had a dream, which they say is from Jesus, all in the midst of terrible atrocities going on in that land. There are some reports out of Iran that say that the militia there is actively going against any protesters. So we have everything going on all around the world, and we see it in front of our eyes if we look at the news. There is violence and there is philosophy of every sort going on, and we want to make sure that we are following Jesus Christ. All amidst the tens of thousands of things that are going on with people where there are atrocities going on, where people are, some of them are shot, some hung, some blinded, and that's going on, yes, in Iran, but also other countries of the world. How wonderful it is that we have the peace and freedom in the United States. Now, it's not all peace and freedom, because everyone knows there are troubles all over the world, here, there, everywhere. And somehow we want to avoid the troubles, avoid the violence. And so we can do that as we are careful and watchful, and certainly as we have choices that line up with goodness. Now, it's not perfect, because there is random violence, and that's what we also want to watch for, watch that we are protecting ourselves and the innocent people around us, and that's what we do. So don't ignore the trouble. It won't go away, and we have to be comfortable with our position of safety. As the enemy, which is the forces of darkness, go to seek who they can destroy. Now, with Christianity, we have people of every sort. Some of them want to be kind of independent, and some of them want to be in a church, a big church even, a mega church. And that's something we all have a different orientation to. But let us all be mindful that we are following Jesus Christ. And we have a whole Bible to help us to understand how to follow Jesus Christ. There are even parts in it that can show us how to have a safe environment. Because there are and have been dangers in the world, and it shows, and the Bible stories, perhaps of Nehemiah and building the wall, perhaps with other people who have had the different peoples against them. It is all biblical, and we can learn from the lessons of the Bible as to how to stay safe, how to belong to Jesus, and also we can read about the spiritual battle all around us. That 1 Peter 5:8, where the The devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he can destroy. We have to know that these are all truths around us, that he is a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what John 10:10 says. So we get the idea about truths in the Bible affecting our day-to-day life, affecting the countries we live in, the people around us. And somehow, we want to make sure that we are belonging to Jesus Christ as we go through life. Listen to the warnings. Listen to Ephesians 6:10, where we have the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And this is the word of God. So how do we have all those things around us? It's a wonderful thing about Ephesians 6:10, and we can read it and put it over ourself as a covering as best we know how. And yes, it is spiritual, and yes, there is a physical element to it also. After all, we do live in a physical world, but we are in the Spirit for so much, and we thank God for all that He protects us from. So let's give a few words of thanks for all the goodness that we have. Lord, thank you for this life, for the goodness in it, and the wonders that we have, and the wonders that there will be as we enjoy that heavenly place with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, we do live with an understanding of what is truth. We know the Bible is truth, and we are thankful to God for all that He provides us, from spiritual protection to physical protection to all the wonders of this world. Lord, we thank you, and we do understand the love of God, and we want to give back love also. A part of that is loving the people around us, loving your neighbor. And this is a part of what we do as people in society, people in the church, and we think about that love. Yes, love is a feeling, but love is also an action. And so let me just ask all of us the question, how do we show our love? Well, there's John 10:10, and it says, those who love me keep my commandments. That's what God says. So are we keeping God's commandments? Let's pay close attention to that, because that is how the Bible says we show love to God. So that's a part of what we do and how we proclaim Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps we have heard that God loves us, that we aren't to love other people, and love is a big and important part of our life. And again, that John 4:19, it talks about God loves us, and so we love God, we love other people too. And the love of God is a great big and important thing. And sometime there are people we talk to who expect the love of God to save us from, the consequences of our improper behavior, the consequences of hell. And this is something that we want to live a life that shows that we have been born again in the Spirit. And this is a part of how we show that we belong to Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, come into my heart, my mind, and my soul, Lord, that we may see the kingdom of God. Well, there's all sorts of people who want this. And maybe there are people who say, well, I said the prayer, therefore everything's good. I'm going to heaven because I said the prayer. And maybe that's true. I'm not sure. But you might have to live the life that you are proclaiming. That's something also to consider. How are we doing at living the life that we proclaim to be a Christ follower? Now, there are people who've talked about following Christ for hundreds of years, and we learn a little bit here and we learn a little bit there about knowing the Bible and following the fundamentals of Christianity. I think of our founding fathers. They are said to also have been following Christianity. In the 1600s, 1700s, there were a lot of people who professed themselves to be a Christ follower. And you could see in the writings that it sure looked like it, that early America was full of people who proclaimed to follow Jesus Christ. And do we know it? Were we there to see it? Are we there to see our neighbors who say they follow Jesus Christ? Or what about us? Just question it and make sure that you are following Jesus Christ in your life. That's what we want to do as we seek God and desire the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, the freedom also that America talks about, a freedom to worship, a freedom to live in a way that is pleasing to God. We have a common desire for freedom all over the world, and yet there is a difference between the people who seek a freedom to worship God and a freedom to do whatever they want. It's all a part of what we have to discern as we go through life. You can see the people who did follow Jesus Christ in the way that they lived, in the way they, for instance, named their children. Why, in early America, there were many children who had biblical names like Samuel and Joseph and James and Benjamin. That was for the boys. For the girls were named Elizabeth and Mary and Sarah. Oh, there was also faith and charity. See, you could tell from the evidence of history that there were people who followed Christ. And I think that we pretty much want our history to show that we follow Jesus Christ too. Do you have it among the people who you are close to? Do they know that you are a Christ follower? It's something that shows in how we live, even in how we govern ourselves, or how we have a government. There were roots of Christianity all through the American government, through the U.S. Constitution, and the declarations that people made in early America. So what are we doing to show that we live as a follower of Jesus Christ? Kind of interesting that in that early America, there were people who wanted to speak and preach the Bible on street corners. Oh, and this was the other interesting part. There were different segments of Christianity who wanted one part of the Bible preached and maybe not another. And so one church would call upon law enforcement and say, there's somebody reading the Bible at the street corner right over there. And so they would get law enforcement to say, you can't preach on the street. And this is a part of how we got that First Amendment to free speech, because people wanted to have the ability to preach the Bible on the street corners. And that is something that happened in early American cities. People wanted to preach the good news of the Bible. In all those old cities, sure of Boston, sure of New York, it was just something where this is how certain laws were established and certain rights were incorporated into our law, in our Constitution. Yes. This was going on, and there were always differences about how one branch of Christianity interpreted an opinion or a writing, and that has happened then, and it is happening even today. And we have people who have different interpretations of all sorts of laws, and somehow we want to be sure that we are standing up for freedom. And the biggest freedom we can have is to serve God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. So when we preach the gospel, that's something we want to do. It's one of our rights. So we have to be sure that we are firstly following Jesus Christ in every way, and that we don't want our words to become heated, even though somebody else can say that we were preaching something that shouldn't be preached. Or what about hate speech? That's a popular one today, of being blamed for preaching hate speech. Now, these things are all a part of what is going on today, and we have to grab hold of our rights and practice them in law, in government, in society. And that is something we all have to do as we live and let others live in peace, especially as they proclaim the good word of the gospel. Well, we have different ideas, don't we? And some people want to use freedom against us, and some people want to have the freedom to do what they want instead of what God wants them to do. So, you have to be the judge to how you are going to live your life to proclaim Jesus Christ. And that, I think, is what we do with our free speech. We have an accounting to do in front of God, and someday He will judge our accounts, our words, and our actions. And that's a part of what we do as an agent of King Jesus. What are we doing to uphold Jesus Christ, to preach the good news of the gospel? So yes, it happened in America that there were these things going on, and it is happening today. What are we doing? Will we be persecuted for preaching one way or the other? It could happen. And things have changed in 100 or 200 years or 300 years. Things change, and yet they retain a similarity. So let's maintain the rights that we have and preach Jesus to all the world. That's a part of our rights, isn't it? It's been a part of our rights in America and in Britain and in the rest of the world, some parts anyway. And yet, look what's going on. Why, in Britain, there was a woman who was arrested for praying in public, and the police went up to her and said, "Are you praying?" And she said she was, and she was arrested because she was within, what was it, 300 feet, I think, of an abortion clinic. So we have these things going on in our world, in our society, and somehow we have to stand in the gap for ourselves and our neighbor. At least pray, and then perhaps it's time to do something in a good and pure way. As civilians or citizens, they preach and they protest, and that's a part of sometime what we do too. We preach and we protest, and speaking of protest, we know that there have been times where the government has locked down the streets and forbidden people to demonstrate. Well, that went down a lot under COVID. So there were still hundreds of thousands of people who protested in the capitals. And were they heard? Oh, a little bit they were. And in a little bit, they had the police come out and shoot the protesters with rubber bullets. Now, it's a little bit different if you protest in Iran, because they are using real bullets, and thousands. It depends on who you listen to. It could be 30,000, could be 40,000 people have died from being shot with real bullets in Iran. Well, at least you know that there is something going on where in Iran there is a great conflict, and the government is bringing in forces from outside of Iran to enforce their laws. Well, that's the report. I have not been there. I don't know, but you read enough reports and you get to see that there must be truth to something or other. where they're bringing Pakistani and Afghani people into Iran to enforce the laws or to shoot the civilians. I mean, really, I'm not there, but I do read the reports about how foreigners, people foreign to Iran, are coming into the country to enforce Islamic law. So that's something we also know. If it happened there, it can happen here. In a different way, of course, but it would be a little bit similar, but not the same, just similar. So what would happen? What would happen if there was a big uproar in the United States? Well, we know that there would be a call for order. We know that there would be different groups who would want to have the order enforced according to their own understanding of what order is, or religion is, or law is. And that's a part of when it has been said that the details make a difference. And we have to know that the details do make a difference. Who is enforcing what? And that's a part of what's going on in our country right now. We have people who want to enforce a law for everything, for politics, for, well, you know that the established order is having a great deal of trouble. You know that there are people who either love or they can't stand Donald Trump. And that's a part of what's going on. So there are a lot of people who preach that we should be tolerant, but what is tolerated or what is not tolerated? What about violence or protests or something else to cause change in our very country? Well, there are examples about how we live and how we express our faith and our values and how we have truth, justice, and freedom. There is, well, that reminds me of that saying from early America, to have no king but Jesus. And that's something we are dealing with these days, is do we have a king? Do we have an authority over us? Is it the government or is it King Jesus? It's something that we all have to examine for how we live and what we support. We can go back to law. We can go back to flags and people who said this and that. Well, that reminds me of the flag that George Washington used to carry. It was called the pine tree flag. And it's something that the pine tree was representative of freedom. There was even a coin that was the pine tree coin from early America. And the one that George Washington carried said on it, "Appeal to heaven." And that's something we have in our history. And are we going to withhold history from the youth? Or are we going to say, this is the people in history and what they stood up for? It's something which we are in a point of conflict right now about what we support and what we allow. So the question is, are we going to follow the people who tell us the rule is this or the rule is that? Or are we going to follow our Lord Jesus Christ? That is something which we certainly do pray for, the grace, the mercy, and the blood of Jesus Christ. So how do we put that in effect into our life? It's something which we have to apply carefully so that we are always following the love and the law of Jesus Christ. Because America has enemies. They are enemies, and they declare that they want America destroyed. It's something that we have going on right now. We have an anti-Christ system coming about. We have an anti-American system coming about. And internationally, there are people who want all the power. They want the resources of the world. They want what America has, and if they can't have it, there are plenty of people who want to destroy the richness and goodness of America. That's a part of what we have to strive to protect, as there are people who want to take over America, take over the land, take over the resources, command the people to be obedient and obedient to the law and not obedient to Jesus. So that's something we have right in front of us. How are we going to have that power? That power, that authority, we have it in Jesus Christ. And we start with prayer and to live a holy life. In our country, we have the steps that are, well, there's everything going on, including the decline of America through people who want a different system, people who want a socialist system, or somehow they want to take over the wealth of America and use it for something else. It's been a slow process with twists and turns, and if we look at Europe and what is going on, they also want the resources of America, and a part of that is shown in their defense budgets. They want American troops to support a free Europe, but they have on average, less than 2% of their gross domestic product to support their own troops. And there has been a movement to call on European countries to have 5% of their gross domestic product go towards their own military and protecting their borders. But 2% is not 5%. In fact, I think it's like a 1 1/3%. But the thing I'm trying to say is we have forces that are pushing at America as people want the resources, the money, that the troops to defend their country. People want everything. And America has been saying, yes, we will help you. But at some point, when will that stop? I think of we have this conflict with Canada right now. And there is Canada spending, I don't think it even reaches 1.5% of their gross domestic product on military. And there has been a call to have every country spend 5% of their gross domestic product on the military. But when they spend less on military, the countries have more to spend on beneficial programs for the people. Oh, like retirement, like programs, whatever they are. And that's something that we all have to deal with as we see what America spends and what are we going to do with the resources that we have. You know, one of the resources that Canada has is uranium, and it is in a higher concentration than most of the world has its uranium in. And so, USA buys uranium from Canada because it's easier to buy to mine Canada's uranium. And we do need uranium for our nuclear vessels, like submarines and military ships. We need uranium for the nuclear power plants that generate electricity in America. America needs uranium, but we have outsourced it, so we have to buy it from other countries like Canada, like Uzbekistan, like all sorts of countries where we buy uranium from because we don't produce uranium in the USA. So it's something that makes us vulnerable if we ever were to have a conflict so that our supplies would stop. Will the uranium stop coming to America? Will the whole world look at America and say, we don't like what you're doing, America? It's something which is really going on right now, and we have to just get a grasp of what we are standing for. You know, there's the president who says America first, and that's a question of how do we make America first? How do we do it? How do we say we are or are not going to support the people that we have an alliance with? None of these questions are easy. And in fact, there are forces that want to cause division in America, and that's been going on for decades. Well, actually, hundreds of years. It's an old theme to cause disunity. Divide and conquer has been said for thousands of years. And that's a part of also what is going on today with our country. How are we going to uphold the unity and the strength of America? It's something that if we don't have unity and strength, then other countries will come in and desire to steal, to take from America the resources that we have, whether it's military or natural resources or anything. Look at the technology we have. That has been stolen by many countries, especially China, in the last years. So that is something that is actively going on. And how is America going to stay strong and free? Of course, you have different opinions, and somebody has to make the decision. How are we going to do it? And we need to do it while we are still strong enough to defend our country and our resources. How are we going to defend the people? We have to be strong enough to do it, and we are strengthened through unity. But there has been so much division going on in our country lately that the forces that want to bring America down are sowing disunity throughout the country. The especially the ones who are adversaries to the United States. And yes, I think of China and Russia. Think of the countries who are the BRICS countries. Brazil, Russia, China, India, and South America, South Africa, I should say. But there are other countries all over that are doing this. They want to have their own profits instead of allowing the strong dollar to make profits for America. Now, who can blame them? I don't mean I blame them. I just mean that if the dollar deteriorates, if it falls apart, the whole world will have a hard time dealing with the disruption. I think of that saying that is divide and conquer. That has gone on for thousands of years, that an opposition force will seek to divide whatever it is that they have in front of them that they want to conquer, whether it's Byzantium, Persia, Rome, Greece, Italy, France, Great Britain, United States, and of course other countries as well. Sure, Germany was one in the 1920s. Cause a division and see what will develop. Disorder is what develops, and somehow, with the freedom that we have in America, we get to make choices and figure out how we are going to move forward with the values that we have. The rest of the world has different values. China has a different value. India has a different value. And we are all struggling to make things work. And we also want the trade. Why, India and Pakistan wants to sell the rice that they produce to other countries, including America. But every area has resources that they want to protect and they want to trade for something they want. It's the way of the world. China is holding onto the water that is in China. They don't want to give it to the countries around it. They want to withhold the water from, for instance, Pakistan or the other Stan countries or even to India. And yet, people rely on the water that flows through China. China is depending on manufacturing sales as it sells its goods to other countries, especially the USA. It's all a part of how we get to get along and live with the resources that we have. If we hold the resources back, it causes pain. And look at the rare metals that China has withheld from America. Without the rare metals, it severely disrupts the United States' ability to maintain a military or to have technology, from cell phones to certain computer systems. It's something that we all have a need for, and somehow we are going to get along. Or we're going to have countries that steal the resources from other. That's been the way that it has worked for thousands of years. That's why you have military campaigns against, just look at the history, against Egypt, against Turkey. Again, now look at Ukraine. Now look at Russia. Russia and Ukraine have been producing wheat that they sell to other countries, including Egypt. It maintains the people in those countries to be able to eat the wheat that is farmed in Ukraine and Russia. It's something that there's huge trade that goes on. And without the products that get traded, we would be in great difficulty. We rely on copper from Africa. Silver from China, I was going to say. Well, China and Switzerland have just stopped selling all silver. They said, we're not selling silver anymore to any other country. Both China and Switzerland have said that. And it's something which we are having problems develop in the world because people stop selling everything. There's a question of, will we be able to get coffee and cocoa from South America? Will we be able to get raw materials from Africa? It's something which is right now going on as a form of conflict, and we have to know how to wisely discern what is coming up and how we can deal with all of this. As technology increases, that's another one. Taiwan and the chips that they make to have technological products, including computers and cell phones. It's something which, there again, we are having a conflict in the world, and somehow we have to get along or we have to get independent, and we're working on a little bit of both of them. Speaking of chips, it makes me think of the first Apple computer was sold for $666. Oh, yes, and 66 cents. Oh, how funny. What a lot of sixes. I wonder what that means. And the Apple logo is the apple with it, with a bite taken out of it. So do you think this is a commentary on knowledge? You know, Eve, it took that bite out of a fruit, perhaps an apple, perhaps not. But that fruit was represented of as the knowledge of good and evil. So that's something which there are forces to have an understanding of. Does Apple have an understanding of it? It very well could. It's just something that we can look at and kind of laugh at and kind of be serious about. I don't mean I have the whole answer. All I know is it's something which is reflected in the world around us. We have things going on in the world around us, whether it is technology or basic manufacturing, and we have... Well, lately there have been a few natural disasters. I shouldn't say lately. I should say in hundreds of years and thousands of years, there have been volcanoes go off and just ice storms and everything else. And it has changed humanity. It has changed the world we live in. As I think back on the volcanoes, I think of Tambora in 1815 and Krakatoa in 1883. So we had two in the 1800s, 1815 and 1823, two huge volcanoes that affected the temperature of the world. It caused crop failures, and we know that could go on again. So that's something which, there again, I see it as a way to stay prepared. What are we going to do to stay prepared? Well, I think of water, food, and warmth. And somehow, I have had it happen where the water to my house has stopped. A few times it has happened. Now, it was a repair, so it got turned back on. However, it just goes to show what a huge dependence we have on resources like water being delivered to our home, like resources with electricity being delivered to our home, like that we can buy gasoline for our cars and go shopping and get those resources from the stores, bring them home to live. And it's something which just makes so much sense to my understanding that we should have a few supplies on hand. Today we have lots of volcanoes and earthquakes happening all around the world too. And we had some big ones. In 2004, there was the tsunami that hit Indonesia. And, let me think, 230,000 people were killed in that tsunami caused by an earthquake. We had the Fukushima event in Japan in 2011. See, we have things going on. Where are you going to get the resources you need to live even another week or another month? Do you have them in your home? Do you have rice and beans? Do you have fruits and vegetables? How are you going to make them last for a month if you don't have a regular shopping that you can do? How are you going to get what you need? Well, America has always had resources on hand so that we could eat them to stay alive. I know rice and beans are so common, but there are so many others. There are people in the Midwest who can their foods so that they're able to have fruits and vegetables. So that's something which we can take a lesson to and get our own supplies in case there is another volcano, and certainly there will be, or in case there is a large earthquake, and certainly there will be. Why, there's lots of small earthquakes going on all over the world right now, including in the USA, where they're talking about San Andreas awaking. There are people who talk about the New Madrid Fault awakening. Now, it's always a surprise, but surprises do happen. And are you prepared to get through an event that surprises you? Everyone? What are you having on hand so that you're able to deal with the problems that could arise? We don't want our family to suffer. We don't want us to suffer. And yet we know things go on in the world with earthquakes, with volcanoes, with other natural disasters. Maybe it's a freeze. Maybe it is a river overflowing. Maybe the bridges stop functioning and we cannot get the trucks over a bridge. How are we going to be supplied? Do you think that the churches around you have supplies? Do you think that your government has supplies? How are you going to get by for even a week if you cannot go to the store? It's always a question of what are you doing to prepare for your own needs if for some reason you don't have the gas to get to the store. And right now there are gas stations that are closing Well, yes, in America. Yes, especially in California. Yes, on the West Coast. It's things are happening. And everyone has an ability to prepare a little bit. It's not that I know how to tell you to prepare, but I know that a little preparedness goes a long way to staying alive when we have events going on around us. And I'm not even talking about the biblical events where there will be wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, which might be a plague, famine, which certainly has gone on for a very long time. Countries have suffered from famine. So what do you have that will let you stay alive even for a week? Are you depending on the fact that everything will stay the same? Are you depending on the fact that if you don't have food, the government will give you food? Well, the government does not always give you food, and they certainly have not stored up any food. Well, they have stored up some food for the military and for the upper levels of government, like Congress and senators. But there really is no food anywhere for anybody to give to you. The churches do not have a supply of food. The Red Cross does not. The government and the states do not. Nope. Nobody has spare food. There are no warehouses of food to distribute if there is a problem that comes along. Nobody has the food. Nobody has the water filters. Nobody can supply you with enough water that you need to drink, to prepare food with, to wash your utensils with, or even for a shower. No, water is in short supply, considering how much there is and how much you would need. Now, there are people across the world and across the USA who have had shortages of food and water and gasoline, and somehow, if you need it, you sure better have a little spare somewhere in the area that you have. Otherwise, there will be tremendous difficulty. There could even be lives lost, and things go very difficult. So you have an ability to get some preparedness right now. And do I know what to tell you? Sure I do, and sure I don't. Both water, food, and warmth. Be a part of a community. Know people who have a similar desires as you do. Oh, I don't know what it is. It might be a church where people love God through Jesus Christ. It might be a classical car club. It might be people who are in the same profession as you. There are associations that we can have where we know people who can help us, and we can help them. And somehow, that's a good thing to do. And what would happen if your phone went out? What happened if the landlines were broken? What would happen? You know, there have been submarines that have been breaking communication lines all across the world. The Chinese are said to have done that by leaving the anchors down out of their boats. And somehow it breaks the communication line. We have things going on. We even have accidents. We have things that are unintentional. And somehow all these things can threaten the normal life that we live. And we want to get a little bit of preparation for the just in case. What happens if we cannot get what we need? What do we need? Do we need water? Do we need food? Do we need warmth? Yes. And probably the biggest thing we need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because without that, you don't have much when you're looking at death in the face. That reminds me of Matthew 16:26. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Yes, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? So, is it heaven or hell that you see is coming up? What do you think and what can you do about it? Are you living for Jesus Christ? To call Jesus your Lord? To call Jesus your Savior? Well, that's a good step. But what are you doing to make it true? Are you living for Jesus Christ? Is this a part of what you're doing so that you can spend eternity in that heavenly place with Jesus? Or are you doing whatever you want so you can get by to get enough food and water and riches? You have to look, what is your life all about? And what do you value? Do you really value to have the goodness of God in your life? Are you proclaiming Jesus Christ? Are you living in a way that shows that your proclamation is true, that you belong to Jesus? Well, I think of that. What would you do? Now, there's that wide path. That's Matthew 7:14. There's a wide path that leads to, well, they call it, it's really to that hellish place, and a narrow path that leads to life, eternal life, in that heavenly place. It can be described in different ways, but we all have a choice to make. Are we going to have our life line up with the will of Christ to get to that heavenly place? Or are we doing whatever we want to do so that we can get riches and call it fun on this life? What are we doing and how are we living? It's something that will make a difference when we pass into the next life. Will our life stand for Jesus Christ, or will it stand for whatever we wanted at the moment of time that we wanted it? What are we living for? Are you seeking to show the people around you God's love and the path to that heavenly place? Is the wide and narrow path that you are on, or there will be some people who will be on that wide highway to that place that is often thought of to be hell? Where are you going? Where are the people around you going? We say we love other people. We say we love our family. And what are you doing to encourage people to belong to Jesus Christ? It's a part of what we can understand as we read the Bible. There's a lot of truth in the Bible, and we want to know that truth. We want to be able to speak the truth and preach the good news of the gospel to everyone around us. There are people who have had an experience where they know that death can be wonderful and death can be terrible. And when we get a little older, we have friends who die. We know that death is a reality, and we know that we want to turn from our unbelief and demonstrate how we believe to God through Jesus Christ. That's a part of what we do as we talk about the message of the truth of the gospel. We want others to believe. We want others to know the joy of a relation with Jesus Christ. And then we go to that heavenly place at the end of this life. And we seek to have heaven and not have that human condition that so many people do, of trouble. As we go through life, there's lots of trouble. And we want to know Jesus Christ and the goodness of Jesus Christ. So proclaim Jesus and do that as you go through life. There's good news in the gospel. There is good news in life. And we want to be a part of proclaiming that good news to other people. It's lovely and wonderful. So always you can get you can listen again to the broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And you can send away for the little preparedness page that I have if you write me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And there are things that we can do to make life easier. And there are hard times that come along in life. And certainly, I don't know what they are, but I can surely see how hard times could develop. And I want you to have a little preparation, because prepared people do better in a time of crisis than people who are not prepared. So think about that as you go through life, both with Jesus and with your basic physical needs of water, food, and warmth, and certainly maintaining your life in the goodness that it has, and showing people the love of Christ as you go through life. Well, God bless you. Thank you for today.